This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
We're going to be hearing a lot about Obamacare this week, what it can do, what it can't do, what it's going to cost, and who's going to pay for it. Health insurance exchanges will be up and running in a lot of states on Tuesday, the 1st of October. Today, though, we're going to bring you a story that starts at the doctor's office, where instead of just asking you to talk about the pain in your foot or the ache in your chest, doctors are starting to ask people about their stories, the idea being that social and psychological conditions like poverty or chronic stress can be bad for your long-term health. A warning before we get going, if the kids are nearby, parts of this story aren't for everybody. From the health desk at WHYY, here's Dan Gorenstein.
It's the kind of thing she kept buried inside herself.
Some things you don't expose. It's a judgmental world.
But here was 30-year-old Elizabeth Philkill telling nurse Renee Murray, a virtual stranger, that she had been sexually abused for years as a child. It was something she told only two other people in her entire life. One night, a few months ago, a dream threw Philkill back to those days, and she wanted to forget fast, so she phoned a friend.
I called to get me some wet, and I made it through it. Bam.
Nurse Murray, who runs a program for underserved pregnant women in Camden, knew what the drug wet could do.
Wet is marijuana with PCP dipped in formaldehyde, and you smoke it, and you're not on our earth anymore when you're high on wet.
Philkill was 3 months pregnant at the time. Outwardly, Murray didn't react to the fact that Philkill had endangered her baby. She wanted Philkill to feel safe, to keep talking. It's something Murray had been trained in earlier this year, something called motivational interviewing, a way of getting patients to open up.
I was thinking, like, yeah, it's crazy. This is someone's pregnant, doing this drug that you hear all these horror stories about. But now here's Elizabeth. As a nurse, my job is to sit here and to learn Elizabeth's story, because if I don't learn her story, I can't do my job.
It worked.
She'll know me from a can of paint. And, like, she cared, like, a little bit more than people that should care cares. So it made me get out what maybe I didn't want to expose. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made me go deep in as to, you know, why did you smoke wet?
In Camden and around the country, this listening technique, really a first step in changing behavior, is catching on because it's seen as a way to help treat patients who are tough to reach, patients like Philkill. But here's the big idea. Researchers are coming to see that the prolonged chronic stress that comes with worrying about food, safety, and money can make people sick. British epidemiologist Michael Marmot says people who suffer from chronic, sometimes called toxic stress, are more susceptible to chronic disease and early death.
What's only come to light over the last decade or so is if a child is exposed to a stressful environment, an abusive environment, that affects brain structures. That can actually change the architecture of the central nervous system.
And Marmot says this can happen to anyone, young or old, poor or rich, if they feel a sense of helplessness.
Where the threat is uncontrollable, I mean, you're threatened by a wild animal, you run away from the wild animal, you escape, but then you recover. That's what's supposed to happen. But imagine you can't get away from this wild animal. It never actually tears you apart. It's just threatening you all the time.
Marmot is primarily concerned with the physiological effects from long-term threats. Princeton psychologist Eldar Shafir, who co-wrote the book Scarcity, is looking at more immediate stresses, particularly economic ones. He says money trouble, and especially poverty, takes away your ability to think about anything other than what's right in front of you.
You know, the rent this month is questionable. The dinner for the kids is not yet taken care of. Those sorts of financial impositions take a load on your mind that leave less mind for other things you need to handle.
Like going to the doctor and taking your medicine. This is particularly important for people with chronic conditions that demand constant attention, like diabetes and heart disease. That small fraction of patients who are responsible for the majority of all spending costs. Medicare thinks the connection between trauma and chronic illness is worth exploring and has invested nearly $20 million in a three-year, four-state project based on a model designed by Dr. Alan Glasrow from Stanford.
This work begins by asking the question, why wouldn't a person with a chronic condition do everything in their power to live long and feel well? And generally, there's sort of a subtext, which is, what's wrong with this person? They're not listening to me.
At his clinic, Glasarov sees 160 privately insured patients who on average racked up $58,000 a year in medical bills before he began treating them. Glasarov directs his team to focus first on what matters to the patient, like dancing at his daughter's wedding, then deal with the fact that the patient is diabetic and smokes 3 packs a day. Glasarov says his approach has helped shave 20% off his patients' medical costs.
If we succeed at this across the 4 states, it'll be a huge step forward.
It's the kind of step nurse Renee Murray is trying to take with Elizabeth Philkill back in Camden.
When you're dealing with people that have complex issues, if they're not ready to get the care they need or to make a behavior change, it's not going to happen. This approach gets them a little bit closer because now there's a healthcare provider who is showing a genuine interest in their life.
But Murray's a realist. She knows Philkill's life is rocky. She's got no job, no permanent place to live. Since her talk with Murray, Philkill's disappeared from prenatal class for weeks at a time, had her phone turned off, and continues to smoke cigarettes. That said, she did show up for class this week. In Camden, New Jersey, I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The other stories in Dan's series, Diagnosis Camden, are online at marketplace.org.